What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit Hyland.com.
Tech Talk with Jess Kelly. This is News Talk.
Hello and welcome to Tech Talk. Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up this week, we're focusing on the Irish innovators powering their way through the pandemic. Bobby Healy of Manda Drones will join me to discuss the success of his drone project in Oranmore. We'll hear from the Galway company going from strength to strength in the world of cybersecurity. And Aisling O'Reilly reviews some products from Irish company Fizfit. As always, you can email the show techtalk@newstalk.com or you'll find me on Twitter at JessKellyNT. On Tuesday of this week, I was with Pat Kenny as normal and we were reviewing the Apple AirTags. This is Apple's version of the Tile or the Chipolode that'll help you find your keys, your backpack and so on. You can listen back to that review in full if you missed it on the News Talk app powered by Go Loud. I suppose my overarching feelings towards the AirTags is that it's great innovation. The app is fantastic, but they're still a bit on the expensive side. And of course, they only work if you have an iPhone or an iPad. I am very excited, though, to get my hands on the new iPad Pro. I spoke briefly on the show about it last week, the new innovation. I do believe that that could be a massive threat to the world of laptops. But that's not the case with Samsung. Samsung held their Unpacked event on Wednesday of this week. Unpacked is their series of launches, so they're usually focused on phones and so on. This one was very much focused on laptop devices. So we now have the Samsung Galaxy Book, the Book Pro and the Book Pro 360. They are beautiful looking devices, first and foremost. They are just stunning. I think the line that was used was something similar to, you know, the design of the phone, but the power of a PC. So that they're very much bringing what we've seen in the S range, the very successful S range over the last number of years, to their laptop lineup. The prices, they're a little bit pricey, but they are very powerful. So they start from 769 for the Galaxy Book. That's a 15.6 inch screen. You've got 8 gigs of RAM and 250 gigs of storage for 769. And then they go right on up the Samsung Galaxy Book Pro 360, which is one with Notions. It's a beautiful looking device. That is €1,759. Again, you've got a 15.6 inch screen, 16 gigs of RAM and a 512 gig of storage. So that is an absolute powerhouse. I'm very much looking forward to getting my hands on those for review. But we are going to turn our attention back to this week's Tech Talk. And I am delighted to be joined by Bobby Healy of Manda Drones. Bobby, you're welcome back to Tech Talk. You're one of my favourite guests to have on the show because you always have some weird and wonderful application for the Manda drones and you also have great vision for the future. It's been a while since we've spoken, so bring us up to speed. What weird and wonderful things have you been up to recently?
Yeah, thanks, Jess. Weird and wonderful things. Well, you probably have heard that we've just announced our fundraising, $25 million fundraising for the business. So that's the wonderful part. And then the weird part is, look, you know, we're in as crazy a business as you can imagine. We're doing drone delivery and we've been live in Galway and Oranmore for since November. And, you know, the weird part, but also wonderful, is how well adopted the service is. You know, 30% of the residents are using the service regularly now. 70% of our orders are repeat orders. And the ways in which people are using it and the things that they're ordering by drone delivery, the weirdness is in the sheer practicality of how people are using it. It's not weird, it's delightful, to be honest with you. And it's very exciting as well to see someone order a melon and nappy cream or broccoli by drone delivery is just something to behold.
And what I love is, you know, the last few times that we've spoken, I think we first spoke 3 or 4 years ago now, and you had this vision. And I remember the text that came in afterwards, people going, how is that going to work? That's not going to work in Ireland. Sure, we can barely hack, you know, having taxis in the bus lane and all the rest. We're just not equipped for it. But you've made it happen. And that deployment that you mentioned there, what have been some of the learnings, and has there been feedback from the public that has sort of fed into how you do things and how you might approach things as it grows even bigger?
Yeah, no, 100%. You know, we went into Oranmore with the community. So we engaged with all the local businesses, with all of the schools, and literally the entire of Oranmore was, you know, population nearly 10,000 people. And we kind of spoke to them and we asked them, we knew this was going to be a learning experience. And yeah, there were some things we expected. A lot of people had a big negative view on drones, and not for any, you know, real reasons, but, you know, practical experiences of hearing noisy drones or, you know, hearing bad news stories about drones. So there was from certain elements there, there would have been some nervousness around what we were doing. And, you know, we knew it wasn't going to be an issue, because the fact is you can't hear our drones when they're at cruise altitude. And noise is one of the things that people worry about the most. You can't hear them at cruise, and you can't hear them indoors either when we're delivering. So that one was kind of, that particular learning was more for the population there. Their kind of hesitance or their concern was addressed very quickly. And we don't get any complaints whatsoever about noise. And then, you know, it's just the madness of what we're doing is as exciting for the residents of Oranmore as it is for us. And they're, to be honest with you, they're as bullish and as excited about Mana as I am myself. So the learnings and the practical education we've had is that, look, actually the community want this. You know, 98.5% of the population of Oranmore, you know, voted to get this and asked for it. So we know that we're welcome. And then the other learnings are, you know, people, particularly people in small businesses like the local bookshop or local coffee shop, rely on us now already to get to their customers. And we weren't expecting that to happen so instantly. You know, the local coffee shops, Brasco and Thomas & Co., we've totally changed their business now. And for them to be able to deliver a coffee, you know, to the far edges of Oranmore in 3 minutes, it's just changed their business and changed the way they're going to think about how that they can expand. So we've learned a lot that we kind of expected to see, but to see it actually happening has been, you know, really great.
Yeah, you talk about the coffee shops, you know, transforming their business. We've seen elements of this in recent years. If you look at things like, you know, having your debit card instead of having, you know, cash or a checkbook, all these small little things that almost crept in and we didn't pay too much attention to it at the time, but now we can't imagine, you know, paying for anything other than tap with our phone or tap with our card. So new innovation, yeah. It can always seem a bit scary, but then it is life-changing. For those who don't know, explain the ordering process. So if I'm in Oranmore and I want to order a coffee, how do I do it, and how do I get the drone to me?
Yeah, it's really straightforward. So, you know, you simply go to the ordering app for the coffee shop, and you order whatever you want. We keep an eye on the weight and the volume of what you're ordering. So you can order, we've had an order for 8 coffees to one house, and your croissants and whatever, you just put it in the basket. It's a normal transaction. From a consumer point of view, you pay with your credit card, and we've partnered with Flipdish in Dublin to power most of those ordering sites. And then, you know, the only difference at the end is you put in your air code. We key off the air code so as we know where you are. We validate the air code against your GPS at the time to make sure you are, you know, where you're supposed to be. And then the only other thing, you get a notification when the aircraft is taken off with your coffee. We tell you we're going to be there, and we give you an ETA of, you know, it's going to be 2 minutes and 30 seconds or whatever it is, your ETA. And if you click on a notification, you can track the aircraft, so you can see where it is in the sky. You can see the speed, the heading and all that kind of stuff. And as you're standing outside your house looking, you can be looking at the icon on the screen, and it's all in real time. So the experience is really quite exciting for those that haven't seen it before. And, you know, when we started off there, every delivery was a circus. I mean, the whole town or the whole road was out for every delivery, and, you know, everyone filmed and took pictures. And now it's a little bit more pedestrian, where, you know, we have customers there to use us every single day to order various things. And, you know, I won't say that they're bored with us. They just use us, and still they'll film us, they'll tweet it, or they'll put it on Insta or whatever. But the experience, other than the spectacular kind of idea of it, becomes normal very quickly.
Yeah, and I think that's where we need to get to in order for this to be more normalized. And as you said, very often when people talk about drones in the news, it's the bad stories, it's the scary stories, it's the disrupting wildlife stories. But we did a piece a few weeks ago here on Tech Talk about, you know, e-scooters, for example, and how we just need to get used to it, and then we'll see the benefits of it. We need to embrace this element of change, and then we'll reap the rewards of it. In terms of traffic and congestion, is there any limit on how many drones you can have flying over Oran Mór at any particular time?
No, and it's not really. It's one of the concerns people have, you know, when they think about a future, a long term future with what we're doing. They think about, you know, are the skies going to be full of these things buzzing around? And they're not, you know. Or the entire population of nearly 10,000 people in Oran Mór are served with two drones, and those two drones are, you know, we're the size of a seagull. We fly higher than a seagull, and at night we have little blinking aviation lights. It really isn't disruptive at all, and it's quite quiet. So there's a reason for people to be concerned, and it's kind of the negative press that, and rightly so, that the odd moronic drone user flies into Dublin Airport, or, you know, what happened in Gatwick Airport. You know, the people have a reason to be fearful, but it's our job just to, you know, treat everybody with respect. We're flying in communities that, you know, have a right to privacy, and we respect that fully. You know, and what we're doing is we're basically bringing jobs and business to these communities that wouldn't have access to that if we didn't exist. I mean, the local bookshop in Oran Mór has a better delivery product than Amazon have, you know, so there's a seesaw here, and certainly there's some negatives, you know. I mean, we're flying through the air. Some people would see that as a negative, but what we're bringing is allowing everybody in the community to gain by either having a much better delivery product, or if you're in business, by being able to access 50 square kilometers of customers in 3 minutes. And I think that's a really great, remarkably great thing for, you know, the suburbs and rural communities of Ireland, for sure.
Absolutely. And as we look back, and a lot of the focus of the last year has been on the devastation, which obviously you can't understate in any way, shape or form. But there's also the opportunity for areas with people, you know, moving to different parts of the country now. Maybe they've moved back to their hometown. There is a real opportunity for businesses to embrace that movement of people and maybe revive some of the towns using new technology like this for deliveries and keep that local community thing alive. Where are we in terms of getting it elsewhere around the country? And at what stage will it be the norm for all of us to get our coffees delivered by drone?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, our timing is, we're not in a rush to scale out anywhere. Ireland will be the first place we'd like to scale out, but I think people could be expecting us to start really rolling out across 2023 onwards. So it's about a year and a half, a little bit more away. There's still a lot of regulatory work that has to be done. Although EASA, the regulatory bodies responsible for drone regs, are pretty much there in terms of clarity and timeline. So people in Ireland, you know, the reason I started this business was I live in the suburbs of Dublin, and I don't have access to the same quality access to product or delivery that people that live in, you know, Rat Mines or closer to the city centre have. And this equalizes it. This, you know, this brings the same level of business efficiency and consumer access to products that city centers have. And that's great for Ireland, right? It means that, you know, people that, you know, after COVID are going to start more working from home or working from the counties or the communities where they come from, rather than Dublin city center, that the, you know, it's going to create a little bit more balance in terms of access to products that others can get that they can't.
In terms of the drones itself, I know we've spoken about this before, but what are the limitations in terms of what they can deliver in terms of weight? And is there a possibility in terms of getting bigger drones to carry more, or does that cause more headaches?
No, it does. It's just an energy equation. We've specifically chosen a 3 kilo limit and 20,000 cubic centimeters. So think pretty large and deep shoebox full of stuff. There isn't really, practically speaking, that's more than 90% of, you know, deliveries and, you know, for groceries or for takeaway. You know, so, and then the things that we can deliver in terms of, like, we've delivered fresh eggs without cracking them many times, actually. Lots of people order eggs, and we deliver coffee hot, we deliver ice cream cold. So there's no real constraint right now, because if you, like, we have a lot of users of, you know, we work with Camille Thai down there, and a lot of Thai food is quite heavy, and literally and metaphorically. But, you know, we just split it up over two drones rather than one. And we don't need to build a larger drone. We just use multiple drones, because in the end, they're robots. So, you know, the cost of doing that is negligible for that extra flight. Later on, yeah, we'll actually have a smaller drone for longer range and faster speed for certain use cases, like, for example, emergency supplies up to mountains and things like that. And then we will also have larger drones for certain use cases again, but the majority, like 90%+ of what we're going to be delivering, I think our current cargo restrictions are pretty wide open there.
Like, you've definitely changed the game, and you're continuing to change the game every step of the way. What's the reception from different industries? Like, you mentioned Amazon now. You've got a better delivery time than Amazon for products, and for fresh products like hot coffee and all the rest. There's obviously On Post last week on the show. We had On Post, and I asked the question of Des Corley from On Post, you know, will we ever see drones delivering our post? So what is that interaction with other big players in similar fields towards you and Mana Drones as a whole?
We get a ton of inbound requests for very diverse partnerships, you know, really from everything from medical services to food services to you name it. We've had an inbound in Ireland for, you know, to partner, to bring us to this town or that town. We've had a number of, you know, councillors asking us to bring the service to their town, you know, so it's kind of I don't think there's any negatives at all in terms of, everyone sees us as a positive. And it's actually not us that have a better delivery product than Amazon. It's the local bookshop in Oranmore. This is about equalizing and beating big tech by simply distributing the logistics to the locations. And that's what makes it better. You know, I think we've done a good job simply because, well, we have a good team. We have a good track record. We've worked hard. But we're also in an environment in Ireland where both government and the regulator and the HSE have all gotten behind this and supported us and helped us to exist and to thrive. And particularly, you know, particularly in such a heavily regulated market, we actually have a better ability to make progress than if we were in the United States, where you have a very slow moving and bureaucratic regulatory environment. So we're actually in probably one of the best countries in the world to be building a drone delivery business right now. Anyway, we are. And that's been, you know, absolutely key. And like everyone, On Post are an interesting example. Any parcel deliveries, or even if I look at hospitals and optimizing blood supply, you know, transporting critical goods, they're all valid partners for us and for what we do, because we can take the really difficult stuff, like that cross Dublin journey that might take an hour plus, with a critical product, we can get that across Dublin in less than 5 minutes as the crow flies. You know, so there's definitely cases where emergency equipment, emergency supplies, particularly in the health sector, we just play such an important role, or we're going to play such an important role. And I'm particularly very proud that Ireland are now world leaders in drone delivery. We're doing more deliveries than Alphabet's Wing drone delivery program are doing. And that's not just because of us, it's because of all of the actors that are here supporting us.
That's so good to hear. I'm so glad that there is that level of interest and buy-in and curiosity. Because as I said on the show a few weeks ago, when we were talking about e-scooters, my big fear with this brilliant tech is that the people who make the rules might drag their heels because it's something new, or it could be seen as a bit of a risk or whatever. But that doesn't seem to be the case with you guys.
Far from it. Far from it. We've nothing but support from government. Enterprise Ireland have been incredibly supportive of us. HSE, you'll have seen last year, we partnered with them for Moneygall. IAA, the Irish Aviation Authority, have absolutely huge supporters and partners in what we're doing. You know, like, honestly, it's the dream. It's the dream country, except for the trolls on Twitter. You know, it's the perfect place to be. But I enjoy that too. You know, I mean, it's we're very open about what we're doing, and that's important, because it's not like we're the kind of tech that you can just roll out in people's faces and get away with it, you know. I'd even shout out to Bord na Mona with all their bogs, you know. We're doing flight testing on bogs soon. And that's another unique thing Ireland has to offer. We've got this big central area of our country where it's perfect for flight testing. You know, we do, you know, 30, 40,000 flights every few months.
Wow. So you mentioned that we can kind of hope to expect to see this manned drone delivery right across the country, hopefully from 2023. Between now and then, what can we expect from you?
So we're going to announce a new town probably in the next month or so. We're playing a few games with everybody now and getting people to vote to see where they come from. And every one of the 26 counties have asked us to go there for our next town. But we're hoping to open a town of 30 to 40,000 people next, so slightly bigger than Oranmore, and do the same service, really, just kind of, you know, educate everyone. And again, we're not about making money now at all. We're just about proving that the technology can scale and work to the growing populations and be meaningful, like make a meaningful difference in these communities that we go into, to say, look, you know, short term we're just learning about this, but think about long term what this means for you. It should mean that local businesses are going to do a lot better now competing with, you know, the likes of Amazon, all the big multinationals that want to eat their lunch and scoop them all up. What we're giving them is the ability to access those 50 square kilometers of customers in 3 minutes that let them thrive. And, you know, honest to God, I genuinely feel great about that. And we'll announce that town, I think next month we're planning to announce it. And then it's just head down and get going. And we'll do that for 12 months, 18 months before we start to think about internationalizing the business or raising more money.
Well, I can't wait to see what you do next. As I said, it's always exciting to see, because it's the definition of innovation. That's what you're doing. And I am 100% here for it. Bobby Healy, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Jess.
Coming up next, we'll chat to the Galway firm focusing on cybersecurity that's going from strength to strength.
Tech Talk. Rate and subscribe.
TechTalk@newstalk.com is the email address if you'd like to get in touch with the show, or you'll find me on Twitter at JessKellyNT. We're going to focus in on cybersecurity now. This is a topic that we have spoken about numerous times on this programme and right across the schedule here on News Talk. The number of hacking attempts, phishing attempts, scams seems to have gone through the roof in recent months in particular. We have spoken about the importance of investing in cybersecurity infrastructure if you're a business, but also having the your wits about you, I suppose, as an individual, because these threats and attacks are coming from all angles. And I'm delighted to be joined now by Ronan Cavan, who's the CEO of Titan HQ, which is a Galway-based firm specialising in this area. Ronan, you're very welcome to the show. Before we talk about cybersecurity and some of the challenges that I alluded to there, can you just tell us a little bit about the company itself?
Okay, so we're a Galway-based cybersecurity vendor. So we build cybersecurity solutions in Galway with our team down there. and we sell them globally across the world. We have a particular focus on the MSP community and on email and web content in particular. So we see those as the main two main gateways for malware, bad stuff, spam, etc., coming into organizations, and we focus on those. We give the MSP tools to protect their customers, so they use our products to layer them into their offering to their own customers and end users. So that's where we fit into the jigsaw. We've been in business probably about 20 years. There's currently about 95 people in the organization, and we recently closed a private equity investment with Living Bridge out of London. So we've been going from strength to strength in recent years.
And it's great to hear of Irish companies doing well, particularly companies outside of Dublin and Cork. Sometimes I think the tech sector forgets that there are other parts of Ireland that can thrive from a tech point of view. But obviously, if you guys are thriving, that means that the security, cybersecurity issues are on the rise. And you mentioned there in particular about the email threats that are out there. Can you give us a bit of an overview of how the threats have changed and how they're getting more sophisticated, particularly over, say, the last 5 or 6 years in particular?
Yeah, so look, the headlines are not short of cyber threats and phishing attacks that are happening on a global scale. The volume of these are continuing to increase. Penetration and the success of them continues to increase, and that's really driven by increased sophistication and very much targeted attacks from any different number of areas and any number of different companies. So look, the threat continues to grow all the time. And I suppose what we've done is we've focused on a particular area, which is a small to medium business who typically would be challenged in so far as the threats and the threat vectors are similar to the larger enterprises, and the outcomes can be the same. The challenges around protection can be the same, but the tools, the budgets and the sophistication or the skill sets of these organizations are limited, and therefore they're heavily challenged. So we focus on providing tools for that particular sector, provided to them through the managed service provider community. So that's where we really focus and try and drive our value for our customers.
Yeah, it's interesting because those SMEs, and we featured a lot of them here on News Talk over the last number of months, who've talked about having to move into the online space perhaps for the first time, you know, bringing their businesses online, opening online stores. And when you do that, if you have any form of online presence, you are opening yourself up to a whole host of different threats and potential threats as well. But these SMEs wouldn't necessarily have CTOs, they wouldn't have, you know, comprehensive tech departments that can set up different firewalls, alert them to different threats. So how easy is it to integrate your solution to an SME that perhaps only has a small number of people working, but they're embracing, you know, online retail in particular for the first time?
Yeah, look, I think it's a huge challenge, and it depends where you go. You mentioned online retail, that in its own right and protection of that whole environment is even completely separate to protecting the network and protecting the individual employees, which is kind of where we focus. You know, you throw COVID and remote working across that equation, which has really accelerated the requirement to use tools to support that, and the opportunities for attack become even greater. So it is a huge challenge. The playing field is changing all the time, and the attacks are coming more quickly. I think what we try and focus is to provide really solid, easy to use and easy to understand tools for a particular market sector, looking after certain areas, and do that very, very well. So I guess knowing your audience and knowing how to build tools that are suitable for your audience, and that's something that we particularly focused on and has driven our success over the last couple of years. I think maybe about 5 or 6 years ago, we really started to notice the growth of the managed service provider as a delivery of solution to particularly small to medium businesses. That was really wrapped around the emergence of Office 365, which then became sort of the emergence of the cloud as a core delivery tool for small to medium businesses. And we saw the opportunity in there, and that's where we drove into. And we've built our solutions over the years. We've built our go-to-market strategy over the years around that particular sector. And that's really served us very, very well.
The notion of having everything in the cloud, it's great from a convenience point of view. It's great from a work anywhere culture point of view. But there are so many threats that exist in that space. How much of, I suppose, cybersecurity relies on individual cop on, so not being gullible or not being tricked into clicking on links and so on, and how much of it is based on protecting that network so somebody can't get access to that information and, you know, deploy something like the WannaCry virus that we saw a number of years ago? Is it, you know, 50-50, or what way does it, is it weighted out?
Our experience in it would be that the human is still the lowest common denominator, I think, and the point of attack. I think the best advice small to medium businesses could do is you know, to increase the knowledge of their workforce and have awareness and cyber awareness built up in their organizations. I think that in its own right is just huge. You know, we use a number of tools that provide simulated phishing attacks, and that's just been transformative for our business. Because in parallel to these simulated attacks, we see the real phishing attacks and we see the reaction of our staff to these. So, you know, we'd see it on a day-to-day basis. And that's just teaching your employees how to react, how to manage passwords, how to change passwords, just doing the really basic stuff that makes common sense. And I think that's a huge part of the battle. And if you win that battle, you really narrow the opportunity window for the bad guys. So that's really the first start point before you get into the sophistication of sort of cyber solutions. I think the move to remoteness and the transformation to using cloud solutions has pros and cons to it. Certainly, the inherent security in a lot of these tools, such as Office 365, is really, really good. And they build it into their solutions from the start. So I think that can really advance people's position and protection. On the far side is people use a lot of other cloud solutions and the ability to use these in every day without testing them or without knowing about them, again, creates a different opportunity. So pros and cons, but I think generally that if you can train your staff and have awareness, that's the first start point you really want to solve in your organization.
We mentioned about some of these SMEs, you know, not having I suppose extensive or any form of technical department and security department within them, and very often when they're looking at their budgets for the year, they may think, oh, do we really need, you know, a cyber security program? Do we need to think about this? And it's only when something goes wrong that they kind of kick themselves going, Jesus, why didn't we just invest that money at the outset? Do you think that this is something that should be fundamental in the thought process of any SME, regardless of their level of activity online, that they should have cybersecurity front and centre of their mind so they don't get to that place in 6 months' time where they've been targeted by an attack, customer data is compromised, sensitive data is compromised, and then that reputational damage that comes with all of that takes place?
Yeah, I think you do. I think, you know, the first thing you need to realize is that, you know, a lot of these attacks are just indiscriminate. So that these are botnets just going out looking for opportunities. They're not focused on any individual company for any, you know, there are focused attacks, but there's a lot of just general activity out there. So, you know, the likelihood that something will happen is pretty strong. So I think you need to start with that position and then be realistic. I think the challenge for small businesses is, you know, that there's a lot of noise in the security market, and it's how do people know what they should and shouldn't do? So I think certainly my advice and recommendation for smaller businesses is to make sure that, you know, you vet whatever partner you are going to choose to provide these services to you carefully, so that you know you're getting the right solution. And that's not without its challenges, without a doubt. How do you know what's good and what's bad? But I think that's key. I think the ability for individual small companies without any real significant IT department to create their own protections is probably limited. So I think the partnership route and choosing that partnership route is critical. But if at the forefront your goal and your start point is to put as much emphasis on security as the productivity tools you use, I think you'll start in a good place and hopefully end in the right place.
Absolutely. One thing that I always get nervous about when we have conversations about cybersecurity is we can only really talk about the threats that we know exist today. But we've seen great development in terms of how sophisticated some of these scams can be, how well presented they are. It's no longer just the prince in Serbia who wants to give you €1 million. All you have to do is give your bank balance over. You know, there's so much more to it than that. Will we ever be ahead of it, or is it always a case of chasing it and prevention to the best of our ability?
I suppose I'll give you this anecdote. I remember several years ago I was at a conference and the head of Kaspersky Software gave a quote, or he was asked about sort of the data privacy and cybersecurity related to that. And you know, his answer was, look, if it's that important, don't put it online, because just make the assumption that anything online will always be under threat and has potential to be under threat. So you need to take that view. Now, that's not possible in reality to be that clear cut. But I think the base principles is where you need to start. You know, you can't mitigate for everything. And as I said, the playing field is changing all the time. So again, I go back, if your base principles are solid, and your partner for providing these services is really good, I think that's where you need to start. And you know, you don't know what you don't know, and you never will. But I think you got to start with the right get on the right road and go in the right direction, and I think it'll serve you well.
Yeah, that vetting process before you sign up to anything, it's a good attitude to have at a consumer level and then obviously at a business level as well. You mentioned about the growth and the progress of Titan HQ. You're continuing to flourish at the moment, and I know that your workforce is expanding. What are the types of roles that you guys offer, and are they all based in Galway?
Yeah, so look, we've grown tremendously over the last number of years, but in particularly over the last year. So we've gone from a team of 60 to close to 100 right now. So that's been tremendous growth. We've been looking at some of the numbers behind that, and it's particularly interesting around COVID. You know, I think 40% of our staff have never been in the office, but yes, we're working very, very, very well as a team. So it's a real testament to the onboarding process we have with staff and how they perform. So really, really proud of that. I guess on top of that, we've hired a lot of senior people into the team more recently, a new CTO, a new CFO, and a lot of managers as well. So real tremendous growth. We're still hiring, and we've hired across all disciplines. So we've added to our sales. We're currently adding to our marketing role. And our development team has grown. It's almost doubled in size since last June. So it's across all disciplines, really, to be honest with you. And I suppose what I'd say, it's a competitive landscape out there, hiring. So it's not without its challenges, without a doubt. And Galway is an interesting place to hire. You know, I think to the point you made to begin with, a lot of people forget it's out there, but both the indigenous IT industry and the multinational IDA driven businesses have flourished over the last number of years, and that's really raised the bar of both potential candidates and people working in IT in the west of Ireland. So it's great to see, and it creates great opportunity for getting great people into the business.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And as I said at the top, it's always great to see these Irish success stories going from strength to strength. Ronan Kavanagh from Titan HQ, thank you so much for joining us here on News Talk.
Thanks very much, Jess. Good talking to you.
Coming up next, Aisling O'Reilly puts some FizzFit equipment through its paces.
Tech Talk. Tech Talk. Rate and subscribe.
Welcome back to the final part of this week's Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. We are very much focusing on Irish innovators on this week's show. We've already heard from Bobby Healy of Mana Drones and Robert Kavanagh of Titan HQ. But we're now going to look at the products offered by a company we featured on the programme a number of months ago. That is FizzFit. This is an Irish company that was started during the pandemic. They produce some beautiful products, very much aimed at fitness and physio. And our own Aisling O'Reilly has been testing out a number of the products over the last number of weeks, and she joins me now. Aish, welcome back to the show. What have you been trialing over the last little while?
So I've been working at looking at FizzFit, which is an Irish startup. They were established in Dublin this year, which is so amazing to see in a pandemic, you know, an Irish company starting out. And the main thing with FizzFit is that they're a physio and fitness brand. So the Fizz, and the Fit is physiotherapy and fitness products. So I reviewed three products for them: the memory foam orthopedic back cushion, the elite massage ball, a massage roller set, and then resistant bands, which is the light, medium and heavy.
Okay, so this is super interesting for a few different reasons. So we know that sort of gyms and outdoor training and team sports will be coming back. But the beauty of these products is that you can use them regardless of whether you are just doing workouts at home or if you're doing other training and you want to sort of work on different aspects of, you know, whether you sit where you're sitting right, the roller or the different bands. So let's start with the cushion, because I actually have one of these cushions. I have one. I was reviewing it as part of my work from home review, and I noticed a huge difference. What were your thoughts on it?
Yes, I really needed this because I have just moved into a new home. So the first thing was I was sitting at the dining room table. I'm probably on dining room chairs that I probably aren't a fit for on your laptop every day. So this couldn't have came at a better time, and I loved it. I was getting pain sort of at the top of my back just from being crouched over at the laptop all the time. So what this actually does is just supports that lower back. Therefore, you know, you sit up straight and it just gives you that better posture. So I really loved it for that. You can move it around. I sometimes might move into the sitting room. I could move upstairs. Some people work from their bed. We're not judging, you know. So you can move it around. You can bring it with you. So I love that aspect of it as well.
Yeah, it seems it seemed like really good quality as well, because again, when it arrived, it comes in lovely packaging and you take it out. And I was a bit skeptical of this to begin with. Again, I am not a, you know, fitness fanatic. I'm not someone who mm-hmm. will be overly aware of my posture and how I'm sitting. But like you, at the start of lockdown this time last year, I was sitting on kitchen chairs that just were doing my body and my back no favours. But we did a thing on Future of Work a few weeks back, where we sort of talked about the home office and how it should be set up, and small things like, you know, sitting on the edge of your chair, putting your feet flat down. But I found when I had that cushion behind me, it was just kind of pushing me to sit up a little bit straighter. And I have to say, after using it for maybe 5 or 6 days, I definitely noticed a difference. I didn't have that school bag pain at the top of my shoulders. Yes. You know, that kind of feeling. That was completely
gone. That is what I had. Yes. Literally what I had.
So how much is the cushion?
It's €47. It is a little bit of an investment, but I do believe that if you're someone, you know, sitting at that chair and table all day on a laptop, even watching telly for long hours, that it is an investment piece that's worth it.
Okay, so that is the cushion. As I said, I used it as well, and I kind of balked at the price a little bit because I thought €47. However, if you think, if you're someone like me who's working from home a few days a week, or if you're working from home full time, think about how many hours you're sitting on your arse and you're arching your back and you're not getting that proper posture. It is a bit of an investment, but I would say it is a worthwhile one. You were also looking at the roller, and the roller is something... Again, I think last summer I was like, okay, I'm going to get fit. And I was looking up at all the bits, and we bought a foam roller, and I've never used it because, firstly, I don't know what you use it for. And also, I don't know the difference between one that, say, is just a non-brand generic one that you could buy anywhere versus a more premium product like this.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I think that's a question that people ask. Massage ball, I have the elite massage ball and the massage roller set. So the difference between maybe that and a foam roller, I ask myself, what is the difference here? I'd never used a massage ball. So this would give me a chance to actually see. And it's so funny because our trainers used to always say to us, if you don't have a foam roller, get down on a slitter. Does the same job. I'm sure I never did it, you know, never listened. But finally, I gave it a go. And so the single massage trigger ball that I used first, I was using that for like the top of my back, as we were talking there, just because it was tight from being on the laptop all the time. So I actually popped it into a sock and then like did it against the wall. And it was so good. It was like a deep tissue. I think that's the difference between the foam roller and the massage ball, that it's just more of a deep tissue, and it really gets into those like trigger points and muscles that maybe are hard to reach. And then the dual massage ball, then I use that for on the ground, like with my quads and my hamstrings. So before and after running. So you could either prep your body for going out running to, you know, just get it ready, get it warmed up. So I'd get down on the ground and I would roll it on my quads and then just on my hamstrings. And then again, if I have time when I come back or the next morning, because, you know, obviously you build up the lactic acid and you want to release that. So it was really, really good for that. But I would say the difference between them and a foam roller, which foam rollers are really good too, I'm not dissing them, but just the difference is this is probably more of a deep tissue is what I found personally.
And so you found it beneficial?
Definitely found it beneficial. Yeah, I probably wish I listened long ago to getting one, to be honest. I did have foam rollers and I still do, and they're brilliant to use as well. But I definitely found now with this, because I started kicking recently, for like the last 2 weeks, we're back kicking the football and that, and I had been doing running, so my legs weren't ready for kicking again, and they were so sore afterwards. And I got down on this and it was like, it's like going to the physio. Do you know, it really does feel like that, that they're, you know, giving you a massage. So yeah, definitely felt the difference.
Okay, and then the final one that you mentioned there was the resistance bands. And again, if you look at any of the sales for resistance bands over the last number of months, they've gone through the roof, because this is something that people can use at home. Talk us through what you get, how much they are, and what you thought of them.
Yeah, so as people might know, they're the best for resistance bands is for building strength and muscle. So we'd always get told before training, they'd hand them out normally, you know, to do it before you actually start. So I had three bands. I had the light one, which is 2 kg to 16 kg, and that's priced at €14. So the main use I used it for was mostly my stretching and sort of like Pilates stretching. You can use it for your upper and lower body exercise as well, but I probably just use it more for my training of Pilates and stretching. So, you know, you can hold it down on the ground and extend your leg out and stretch, but then you're getting that resistance, which is building the muscle. So I used that one for that. Then we had the Paraband Medium, which is 11 kg to 36 kg, and that's €16. And I definitely use this more for my upper and lower body exercises. So you can, you know, you can do your, you stand on it, you can bring the band up to you, do your bicep curls, all of those sort of things. It comes in a little mesh bag as well, which is good to mention, because, you know, they can be long. They're like 103 centimeters in length, so they're messy looking. So it's nice to be able to throw them back in the bag. Then my third one I used was the heavy, which is 23 kg to 54 kg. So now this one I didn't start using until maybe the last 6 days. It's priced at €18. It's that bit heavier, I suppose. My boyfriend now was straight on to this one. He thought this was great. It's an alternative nearly to weights. You know, you feel the same strength in it. So I've just built up to that. But for me now, the medium one was an all-rounder for me. I could do my stretching with it. I could do my upper body and lower body. If I could have all three, I'd have all three. But if I was just buying one for my ability and strength at the moment, medium was probably what worked best for me.
Okay, that is really good to know. In terms of, because we know that you, and like we see it on your different sport talk interviews that you're doing, you're interviewing people from different sports who would be overly familiar with all of the equipment you're talking about now. But for someone who is looking to get started, are there good explainer videos, or are there good online tutorials for people who want to maybe buy resistance bands, for example, and figure out a good way to use them? Because you don't want to do that thing where you buy them and just try and figure it out on your own and end up hurting yourself.
Absolutely. And for me, resistance bands, I wasn't sure nearly what are all the different things you can do, because you can do so much. So I actually just typed into YouTube like 2 weeks ago, resistance band workouts, and it goes through step by step. There's so many different ones that you can go to. And they just go through step by step for a beginner guide if you're at medium, or if you're on the heavy end of the resistant band, and you can look through and go through them, and you can just plot away. You know, you can just put it on, you're here in the sitting room, just put it on the telly, 10, 15 minutes, and you do get that, you know, the strength workout. So it is ideal that way. I would recommend even for rehab of an injury. For me, that was great, because it builds up that muscle maybe in your quads or your hamstrings. So it's important for all different aspects and types of sports. So yeah, it is brilliant in that way.
Well, as you said, it's an Irish company that started up earlier this year. Their website, if you just search for FizFit, so FizFit, and it does sound like they are high quality products. So overall, what is your impression, or what is your final thought on the FizFit products that you tried out?
Yeah, so good. Really, really impressed. The cushion was really welcomed for me. As I said, I really needed something, and I didn't even know I did in a way until I used it. So I would definitely recommend the memory foam orthopedic back cushion. It is €47. It's an investment, but I do think it's a good piece, especially if you're doing long drives as well, commutes, anything like that. It's perfect just to pop into the car. I did it recently with a long drive to Dublin, and it was just like luxury the whole way. One little minor thing I would say, it would be cool if it had maybe like an elastic or Velcro strap at the back. Mm-hmm. So you could attach it to a chair. Very, very minor. But it's just sometimes, you know, it like a cushion, it could fall off or whatever. But it's very minor. But I definitely would recommend that. Then for me on the massage balls, absolutely. I think if you're doing a lot of training, you know, it really gets in there. It depends what you're doing yourself, what ability you're at, what sort of training you're doing. If you're someone that's doing a lot, then they'll work for you. And also on the resistant bands, it just depends on what ability and strength you're at to know which one to get. So to look into it. If you're a beginner and you're starting out, go for the light one. If you're maybe working out a good bit, then, you know, you might go for the medium. And then there's men and women use the heavy one, whatever yourself, it works for you. So yeah, for me, I go with the medium.
Okay, well, Aisling O'Reilly of News Talk, thank you so much for that review. If there are any devices, any home workout equipments, any fitness wearables you want us to try out, email techtalk@newstalk.com. But for the moment, Aisling O'Reilly, thanks so much.
Thanks, Jess.
And that is all we have time for this week. If you missed any of the show, you can listen back in full on the News Talk app powered by Go Loud. Just search for Tech Talk and hit subscribe. I'm back with the guys on News Talk Breakfast on Monday morning. John Friday's up next here. I'll chat to you next week.